welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Hello and welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. With me is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
The topic today is the Open Hardware Diversity Alliance, and our guests are Kim McMahon, Director of Visibility and Community Engagement at RISC-V International, and Rob Maines, Executive Director, CHIPS Alliance. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you much. I'm glad to be here also.
Okay, so first we always ask, Kim, first with you, what brought you to the semiconductor industry?
Well, what brought me to the semiconductor industry was not having to move out of the state of Colorado. So not that, you know, any other place was bad, but seriously, I had worked for an oil company, and that oil company was acquired, and I was getting moved out of state to Houston, Texas. And being a Colorado girl, I wasn't terribly excited about that. So I had a friend who said, hey, why don't you come and sell for Silicon Graphics? Like, I don't know anything about tech. And they say, but you know oil and gas. Why don't you come and sell to oil and gas? And that's what got me into semiconductors and tech. And I've been here for 20 years.
I remember Silicon Graphics. You've now dated yourself. That was a great company.
I dated myself, yes. Building 42. So,
Yeah, my first job was with Data General. So another mini computer company back in the early 80s. I worked at the fab here in Silicon Valley. So how about you, Rob? What brought you here?
So I've been in the tech industry for about 40 years now, and I got my interest in computer engineering, computer science back actually as part of General Electric during an internship when I was doing modeling of a high voltage transmission line. So that kind of got me interested in using computers for modeling, and then also part of my undergraduate program got interested in microprocessor design. So that's really kind of was the formation of it. And then I was fortunate to had my first 17 years of my career with IBM, so got a lot of good exposure to chip design, working on the mainframes, IBM Power, and then moved over to Sun Microsystems and Oracle and working on Spark. So long tenure in the industry and had a lot of interesting opportunities.
Yeah, I've run into you before, Rob. We ran into you at Sun Microsystems and again at Oracle.
Yeah.
That's amazing career. First question is to you, Kim. What is the Open Hardware Diversity Alliance, and how and why was the alliance formed?
The Open Hardware Diversity Alliance, it was formed from a group of a couple different companies, RISC-V founded RISC-V International, CHIPS Alliance, Open Power Foundation, and Western Digital. And we came together to provide programs to encourage the participation and support the professional advancement of women and underrepresented individuals in open source. And what we all felt when we were coming together with this is we really need more diversity in our foundations. And this organization, this alliance, is one of the ways that we're hoping to create a more diverse audience, a more diverse community.
Yes, just to add on to Kim's comments, I think increasing the diversity in our workforce, particularly in the engineering space, is vastly important. I think as most listeners know of this podcast, that engineering is not an easy field. And I think that the more we can do to encourage different folks to become involved in it, I think that's the better for the betterment of the engineering community. And also the fact that engineering problems are hard, and having folks of different backgrounds, different perspectives, really helps in terms of trying to understand how to solve some of these challenges that we face.
Yeah, I agree completely, especially semiconductor engineering, one of the most complicated fields. So Rob, why was it important for the CHIPS Alliance to be founding partner for the Alliance alongside RISC-V International?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, silicon engineering is an extremely challenging field, and engineering in itself is a challenging field. You pick a specialty, but it all has its challenges. So I think as an open source organization where we are trying to increase the collaboration between companies, individuals, universities, having something such as the Diversity Alliance is a key foundational part of that, and providing ways to increase the participation of different groups and to encourage them and to help them provide different venues for speaking about different work that individuals have been involved in, or providing leadership opportunities, participating in different ways is an important thing. The other thing I like about open source is that basically it takes away some of the mysteries that you often will see when you're working on engineering problems. In other words, you want to see something or learn something and you say, well, you can't do that. And often the answer is not necessarily a good one. So the open source community really takes down those barriers. And so I think by providing additional support to a diverse community, my hope is that we increase the participation of such groups.
That's very helpful. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. So question for Kim, kind of a forward-looking one. What are some of the initiatives and goals that are planned for the Alliance?
Well, when all of us worked on this, it was really important that we just don't launch something, that we launch something with activities. So our first goal here in the last quarter of 2021 is kind of doing the round of the trade shows and talking about the Diversity Alliance and getting more participants, either to come in leadership roles, to lead some of what are different, what we call streams, such as learn or speak, as well as getting participants joining who want to take advantage of some of the programs we have offered. So one of the things that we're working on in the immediate time frame is what we call speak, and that's helping individuals prepare for speaking engagements at events. So we have a stream lead who, her name is Jenny, and she's done a lot of work in this area. So we will have her working with anybody who wants assistance in preparing for their upcoming presentations at any of these fall events that we have. The other one we have is a webinar series that we'll be launching in January. And this will be offering topics on how to get more involved in the open source hardware community, such as how to get involved in a RISC-V work group, for example. So trying to give the individuals who are part of this resources so that they can start getting together with other people in the industry, meeting them, and trying to get themselves established in some of our technical communities.
I think providing opportunities for individuals to participate in leadership opportunities, public speaking, articulating ideas in different work groups, and helping them gain confidence is paramount. In fact, I would argue that public speaking is probably one of the most important aspects of being an engineer, and also in terms of advancing one's career, because effectively being able to articulate one's ideas to different groups of people or to executive leadership, as an example, in a company, really goes a long way in terms of helping establish your credibility and your career. So I think these initiatives that we're trying to do will really help that. Sorry.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've asked Rob to pick up and work on is the concept of mentorship, allyship, and sponsorship, not like sponsorship of an event, but getting sponsored in an organization. Because Rob, he's an ally of this, but one of the original founding members. And I look to him to help provide that perspective on how do we help our allies be strong? And how do we help our individuals who are in the program feel comfortable with allies? Because that's another roadblock that we sometimes see, is if you don't want to come out and talk or speak to people if they don't look like you. So I'm really looking forward to some of the things, the programs that Rob is going to be bringing back in the ally area.
Makes sense. Yeah, based on what you both have said, the observation I'll make is that the Alliance is working with individuals and with companies in kind of a concerted way to bring students and diverse people into the open hardware industry. So with that backdrop, you've touched on a number of strategies. Are there other ones that are worth mentioning here, in terms of how do you bring more people into this industry? How do you get more diversity and both industry and students attracted to this market? What are some of the key strategies you're going to employ here that you think may work well?
I think university outreach is a key aspect of this. And when I was an executive with Oracle, as an example, we did do a fair amount of recruiting at universities. And I would travel to different universities in part of that and talk about hardware development, as an example, and why it's an exciting career and why it's relevant. So I think doing this from an open source context adds an additional level of excitement because we can sponsor different option ideas or opportunities for universities to participate in open source design that will then help bring in different students as part of that. So I think that's a key part of it, really. And also it helps show the career path going forward, right? It doesn't seem like it's some, you know, gosh, now I have to go climb Mount Everest. And it's like, it's really not that bad. And that, you know, we can help you set those goals and get down on that path.
You talked about audiences a few minutes ago, and we do have four target audiences. One of them is organizations. And how do we help organizations understand the importance of having a diverse workforce, how that can help with your innovation and your products and your profits and getting your products to market? As Rob mentioned, we have another target of leadership. And how do we work with those individuals who have identified that they want a leadership role in an engineering organization? How can we help them prepare for that or provide them any of the tools where they feel they may need just a little extra help or nudge to get them to that dream role of theirs? We have another target of our contributors, and those would be people who are doing the coding and the software development and the designing, and getting them involved in our work groups, getting them feeling comfortable in our work groups, introduced to other people in the industry so that they can expand their network. And then, as Rob mentioned, our last stream are the students. And we believe that talking to people when they're younger, getting younger people, even as young as elementary school and junior high, interested in hardware technology, that's going to help give us a pipeline that feeds into high school, that feeds into college, that feeds into industry after graduation.
I think that's an important aspect. I'll just add on a personal note, a large part of why I became an engineer was because my dad was an engineer. And he used to drag me into Schenectady General Electric. And, you know, you would just see things being done. It was just kind of cool to watch, but it really had a huge influence. So I think providing that opportunity for young folks is an important aspect of this. The other thing, too, I think in terms of companies is that, you know, there still are systemic problems in different organizations relative to diversity. And unfortunately, I've seen this even in recent times with some of my positions. And so I think the more we can do to help bring forward that awareness and to educate people and illustrate the value of diversity and having different opinions and perspectives on problems is an important thing, and the value to the business is good as well.
This is a great discussion. You've illuminated many, many dimensions to the challenge that you're taking on here. It's motivation and it's education, and it's both for people and for organizations. So it cuts across a lot of lines. I get that, and it's going to be fascinating to watch this. You know, with respect to that, let's look to the future a little bit. Looking down the road, what do you expect to accomplish? In other words, if we looked at 5 years, what would you say would be the key achievements that you'd like to be able to attribute to these efforts? And, you know, how do you think you'll get there? I'm asking for a little bit of a crystal ball answer.
Well, if I'm looking at my crystal ball in 5 years or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I would have liked to have seen it be 50-50 in technology. You know, that's what we have in terms of gender split. Yep. I think it's a dream. It's a dream if we can get measurable results of women and underrepresented individuals in tech. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to try. And I think it's really important that we make an effort and we put plans in place and we work to be increasing the diversity, the gender diversity, and underrepresented individuals in hardware.
I think it's a couple fold strategy or where we'd like to be. So one, certainly I agree with the 50-50 mix of diversity in terms of how we do that. I'd like to see certainly more diverse individuals in leadership positions, whether that be managerial or technical. and trying to provide the opportunities to get to that point, right? So it's a growth process. It doesn't happen immediately. It's a, you know, as with any individual, right? It's a process, right? In terms of having different successes or milestones that you go through in your career. But just having those opportunities and being made available for them is a huge thing. I think also the fact that if we have an active mentoring program, that will help make some of those things happen. And also, again, coming back to increasing company awareness and establishing programs with them, in part with the open source community to help ensure that move forward would be beneficial as well.
That's great. Just to sum this up, how can individuals, organizations, and companies get involved here?
Please go to our website at diversityhardware.org. At the bottom of our main page, there's a button called Join Us. Click that, fill out the Google form, and we'll get you in our database. We'll be kicking off meetings with the broader community. I'd like to say October, but looking at my schedule, it might be more like November. But right now we're gathering the database of people, looking to see who wants to be leading the different streams, take a leadership position in the Alliance, who wants to also partner with us. I've had a number of organizations reach out to us asking, hey, can we partner and be part of this? So we're working on building out, gathering all that information and building out the organization a little further here in October, and then really kicking it in November. So join us on our homepage, diversityhardware.org.
Yeah, I would actively encourage individuals to join the Alliance and become involved in the diversity efforts that we are trying to do, and also participate in CHIPS, Open Power, or RISC-V, depending upon what your particular interests are. But there's a great technical community here that is interested in working with you all. And of course, I myself am very interested in helping mentor folks and help, you know, understand some of the challenges and try to help move things forward.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I have four kids, and just a little personal note, I tried to get all four of them to follow me into hardware engineering and Silicon Valley, and none of them followed me. I mean, they're all successful in their own careers, but I tell you, we do have an employment challenge here in the semiconductor industry, certainly, and in other aspects of hardware engineering, and I really applaud this effort. So I want to say thank you, Kim, and thank you, Rob, for participating in the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. And thank you all for listening. And we'll speak with you again next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.